1059 The Region, in partnership with RE/MAX Prime Properties, present On the Market, real estate advice that works for you. Have a real estate question? Call us at 416-335-1059. Tweet us at 1059 The Region or email us at info@1059theregion.com.
This is 105.9 The Region. I'm Tina Cortez with On the Market, York Region's exclusive radio real estate show. Our expert from RE/MAX Prime Properties is Asif Khan. Good morning, Asif.
Good morning, Tina.
The Bank of Canada is holding its key interest rate at 5% and says it has begun to see the economic conditions necessary to lower interest rates.
Governor Tiff Macklem says economic data since January has improved the central bank's confidence that inflation will continue to slow, even as economic growth picks up. The governor says while the Bank of Canada is seeing the evidence it needs to begin lowering interest rates, it needs to see price pressures ease for longer to make sure the decline in inflation is sustained. Economists were widely expecting the central bank to hold its policy rate and deliver the first rate cut in June. Canada's inflation rate slowed to 2.8% in February, while measures of underlying price pressures have also eased. The Bank of Canada has slightly revised down its forecast for inflation this year and continues to expect it to return to the 2% target by the end of 2025. Nujood Amali, Sicknian Press, Ottawa.
Meanwhile, Ontario is proposing to speed up the creation of student housing and allow municipalities to enact use-it-or-lose-it policies to force movement on stalled developments in a new bill aimed at cutting so-called red tape in the home-building system. Markham Stouffville, MPP, and Housing Minister Paul Calandra introduced an omnibus bill earlier this week with changes to various housing rules as the province tries to get 1.5 million homes built in 10 years.
We have made a commitment to get at least 1.5 million homes built by 2031 to help Ontario families and businesses.
All right, Asif, a question for you. Is it a holding pattern for buyers right now, or is the spring market heating up?
It certainly started to heat up a couple of weeks ago, and we're starting to see buyers come off the fence. There's a lot of anticipation about what's going to happen when rates start to go down finally. And you know, it may be the first or second rate drop that's going to really trigger everything, but right now the buyers are off the fence. They're even coming out and purchasing properties, anticipating later closings for the property they're purchasing so they can get their house on the market, so that by the time they actually close on these homes that they're purchasing right now, the rate may already have gone down.
All right, so is there room then for optimism? It sounds like there is.
There really is, and as the market starts to heat up, I think we're going to see more of a later surge this summer than in a typical year because of everyone that's been waiting. But we're starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel, and sellers are getting their homes ready. They're getting on the market because they want to make that move as well. So there certainly is light at the end of the tunnel. It's a very different mindset out there and a very different feeling than that was in 2023.
But there are a couple of factors to take into consideration, including affordability, the cost of living, right? So what are the buyers telling you?
Buyers are basically saying that they're ready to get back out there, but it's cautious optimism. So basically, they're not coming out and spending as much as they used to before. Before, they would say, you know what, if I can get a bigger house, it might cost me $300 or $400 more per month. So what we're seeing is that they're now just basically being conservative and saying, this is what I can afford, this is what I'm going to stick with. You're not seeing them jump up to another level right now because it may only cost them another $300 or $400 a month. And that seems to be the norm right across. We're getting multiple offers, but we're not getting those crazy multiple offers where people are paying $250,000 or $300,000 over asking. And that's also qualified by the listing price. If you know that the listing price is already $200,000 less than where it should be and you pay $200,000 more, you're not actually paying over asking. You're paying market values. That asking price was listed way too low, and it was in order to get multiple offers on the property. Mm-hmm. So you also have to be careful with what the listing price is before people start getting too excited and saying, well, they paid $200,000 more. They paid market value. The list price was low.
So in terms of the spring listings, what is inventory like?
It's still pretty light, and we are starting to see more and more inventory pop up, but it is pretty light right now. And I think the other factor is, as we've seen, you know, since we moved on from the March numbers, which showed that we were a little bit short from last March in terms of number of sales, April has started off pretty hot and heavy because it's been, people have been selling properties, buying properties. So I think the inventory that's coming on now, as long as it's decent inventory, it's being absorbed. We're not seeing sit around for a long time.
Okay, so before we talk about the specific sales numbers, why are the listings so low? What are sellers then waiting for?
Sellers are waiting for more homes to come on the market so they can purchase first. They want to see if the right home comes up that they want to move to. They want more buyers out there so that they know that their home is going to sell first. But we do have sellers that are putting their homes up so that they can know exactly what they're getting out of it, and then they'll go and purchase a home afterwards. So you're starting to see later closing dates, as I mentioned before, because the sellers that are selling want enough time for inventory to hit so they can find the right home. And even when buyers are purchasing, they're getting a later closing, so they have time to sell their home. So it's kind of a waiting game right now. It's not as bad as it was before when people were sitting on the fence, but there is still some hesitation out there because people don't know when that first rate drop is going to take effect, and or when the major rate drops are going to take effect. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been promised since last year that by the end of the year, we're going to see between a 0.75% and a 1.5% rate drop in total. And people are waiting to see when the first shoe drops.
And it is best, your advice would be to sell and buy in the same market, right?
Exactly. And if you're buying and selling in the same market, then there's no real down factor for you, because if you're selling in a hot market, you're going to get a lot more for your house, but you're also going to pay more for your house. If you're selling in a market like right now, which is fairly balanced, it's not a really heated market yet, you're probably going to get a little bit less for your home, but you're also going to save a lot. And I keep telling buyers, right now, there's a good little window of opportunity. Because when the rates start to drop and you have one or two or three rate drops in succession, you're going to start to see buyers come out of everywhere. And that's going to put a lot more pressure on price. There's going to be some upward pressure on price because of the demand increasing. So right now, it's a good little window of opportunity for buyers out there.
All right. Before we talk about those prices, let's talk about sales. The number of homes sold in the GTA during March of this year was the fewest in March since 2009. What do you make of those numbers?
Well, again, we have to take into consideration a larger sample size. And if you're looking at the first quarter, let's take a look at that first quarter. So last year in Q1, there was 14,705 sales. This year in Q1, there were 16,367 sales. So Q1, if you're looking at the entire quarter, is up 11% in sales. And then if you're looking at the average price, it was up over, like, February over February. It was up March over March, and it's starting to creep up. So because we don't have a lot of good inventory out there, you're starting to see average price creep up as well. So just because March was down a little bit, and there's so many different factors that affect sales as well. You have March break, where everyone's away. Then you had Easter in March, where everyone's away. So you've got a couple of weeks in there that there was not a lot of activity or quieter activity. So I expect April to be up because all of that pent-up activity from March now will go into April. So when you're looking at numbers, you have to take a larger sample size in order to get the true picture. So if you're looking at the entire quarter, then we're up about 11% over last year.
All right. So what about sales in terms of right here in York Region? What can you tell us?
It's starting to get busy in York Region as well. If you're, you know, Vaughan led the way with 811 sales in March. And number two was Markham with 741. Number three was Richmond Hill with 514. But what we're seeing is the detached segment is back in play. There's a lot more people looking at detached homes. The average price for March in York Region was just shy of $1.3 million. It was $1.299,185 for the average price across York Region. which is it's back to where it was in 2021, 2020. It's starting to creep back up there.
All right, 1.3 million for the average detached home in much of York Region. What do you want to say then for someone who is considering getting into the market? Because that number is a little daunting.
And that number, detached, is going to be a little bit higher because that's the aggregate number. So that's including the semis, that's including the townhomes. Detached is, you know, around the 1.4, 1.5 mark in a lot of these areas. So it's tough for a first-time buyer to get into a detached home. We're seeing a lot of families move in together, parents moving in to help the kids get into a detached home. But we're also seeing the market that's been the hottest over the last month is the semi-detached market. So people are setting their sights a little bit lower than what they may have back in 2021, 2020, but they are getting into homes. Condos have slipped a little bit in York Region. We're down about 10-12% in condo sales in York Region, but the attached row townhouses, the semi-detached, and the detached segment has really picked up speed.
Okay, so the detached market was a bit stalled. It's starting to come back. That must signal confidence in the market.
It really does. I think there's, like I said, there's some cautious optimism, which does bring optimism out there. And I think people are a lot more comfortable buying now that they know that the worst is over. I don't think anyone's expecting a rate increase in the next 6 months or so, as long as inflation stays where it is and possibly comes down. And you have to remember that as home prices start to stabilize, as the interest rate starts to come down, that's going to take a little bit of a bite out of inflation because the cost of living is one of the highest contributors to the cost of inflation. So once you take the housing cost out of it or have that decrease a little bit, it's going to help inflation come down as well. So people are more optimistic right now. They're getting back in the market and they're looking at larger properties. And that's when you know that the worst is behind us, when they're starting to look at the detached sector and starting to buy, not only look.
As we head into this spring and then the summer market, what's your advice for listeners right now?
I think if you're trying to buy a house, especially in York Region, you've got a good little window right now where you can actually go out there and shop with confidence without having a lot of pressure. There still are homes that are getting 1, 2, 3 offers in the first week, even before the offer date. So, you know, until it really gets full-blown multiple offer landscape out there, you've got a little window where you can go out and get a deal, maybe even see a property 2-3 times, take a home inspector in through. So you've got that little window right now. After that, it's going to start to get crazy.
Wait a second. You said get a deal?
Yeah, a deal as in not $30,000 or $40,000 off, but as long as the list price is congruent with the market value, you're going to be okay.
All right, we'll call it a deal. After the break, the Cottage Country Sales Report. This is On the Market on 105.9 The Region. Stay with us.
Need to connect with Asif Khan from RE/MAX Prime Properties? Call him, 416-985-KHAN. That's 416-985-5426. Or email asif@thehomeshop.ca. Now, back to On the Market on 105.9 The Region.
Welcome back to On the Market, York Region's radio real estate show. Over to my co-host and our real estate expert, Asif Khan from RE/MAX Prime Properties, as we shift our attention to cottage country. Asif.
We do, and joining us is Sarah Salonen from RE/MAX Parry Sound. Sarah, welcome to On the Market.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
Sarah, we're hearing a lot of people that are now getting excited that the market started to heat up, and they're looking up at cottage country. What is happening up there? Is this a great time to buy? Is it a good time? Are you seeing a lot of people selling up there? Tell us a little bit about what you're seeing happening up in cottage country.
Well, I'll tell you, this market has decided to pick up a lot earlier due to the fact that we have no snow at this time. So we have a lot of people that were talking to us in the fall, deciding when to probably list their cottage, especially if it's three season or if it was four season, they decided they didn't want to worry about snow plowing their driveway all winter for potential showings. And now it was kind of a mad rush where we see, okay, let's get it listed. We've got the Cottage Life show coming up and we can actually get into the properties. Whereas in the past, we still had 4 feet of snow here and not able to see properties. So we have seen a bit of a mad rush just before the show, which was at the end of March, to get these properties listed, and they're selling because people are able to come up. They're actually able to view them rather than a snow-covered wonderland and hoping that the pictures were actually what was there.
And Sarah, beyond the mad rush that seems to be happening right now, is there anything that is surprising you already about this early spring market?
Well, I think that, as I explained to people at the Cottage Life Show, it is kind of, the way I'm looking at it is kind of a property-by-property based situation from what I can see. Now, this is my opinion only. You know, I look at properties and weekly we caravan as an office to go and look at the new inventory that's out. And you look at it and you think, wow, that's a great property. That's going to sell this weekend. And then nothing happens. And you look at something else and go, okay, that's not bad. And there's multiple offers on it. So I think it's a rhyme or reason to each property. However, we are seeing some multiple offers happen, although not as much as we got used to for a while there. But they're still able to get conditions into their offer. They're still able to do some financing and do some inspections where even though there's a couple offers, everybody seems to be putting that in. There's nothing above the other. We're not seeing those huge, hey, I'm going to put an extra chunk of money down. People are a little smarter now. They're playing, you know, looking at a few before they make a decision. And that's good. I think it's a great thing.
And, you know, we've talked about this before when you were on during the COVID time and you guys were in a mad crunch up there for inventory, but out-of-town agents coming to sell cottage properties and missing a lot of key factors like what type of well it is, what about the sewers, things like that, the drainage, all of these factors that go into making informed decisions about cottages. Tell our listeners, how important is it to use a local agent?
Well, we saw this a lot last year during the end of the season because at the beginning of the season, about a third of the listings that were coming out were bought during the pandemic. So people got into that, oh my goodness, I can't afford my house and my cottage. What am I going to try and unload? Of course, the cottage came first. And they found they were using the out-of-town realtors to just come up and just get anything. And it was up to us, which was, you know, personally hard because I saw it coming. And, you know, people coming to me saying, well, my Toronto agent can't sell my property at this price. Can you go take a look? And I said, yeah, you're about $400,000 to $500,000 over what it should be. And, you know, it's the worst call to make. It's not your fault. But you see a lot of them don't like that, so they go back to their other realtor. Well, they're still sitting on the market. So you have to get somebody who is knowledgeable for the area. I personally don't even go to Huntsville or Gravenhurst to do listings. I just don't know that area as well. You got to be, you know, focused on what you're doing or you know, it's hard to memorize everything. So we aren't seeing a lot of them as much anymore, but you know, on our end, we try to make sure that we get water samples done. We have the septic paperwork. We make sure we kind of inform them a little bit more. It's not the chaos that it was, but we did see some backlash from it, and unfortunately, we had to give some people some really bad news bears, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And there were some reports earlier this year that for those who wanted out of cottage country, that people were losing on those sales. Is that accurate, and is it still the case?
Again, it's a case and case point, honestly. There was some that lost a lot. There was some that when they realized how much they were losing, decided to keep them because it just made more sense. Why are we going to lose, you know, $200,000-$300,000 if we can just, you know, push a little bit, see what the market does next year? I'm doing air quotes, which is coming up now. But yes, there was a lot of these going back to the Toronto agents saying, you can, hey, come out here, you can rent your cottage, where we have a lot of restrictions on a lot of our areas. So that did really detriment people's numbers, right? You got your numbers, oh, I can buy that cottage. As long as I can rent it out for 4 months of the year, Well, sorry. So yes, some people did take a bit of a loss. Some people realized the loss and said, I'll try and stick it out. But we're not seeing, hey, I just made $200,000 in a year. That doesn't happen.
And sir, what's the difference in terms of pricing? If you had an all-season road access to a cottage versus maybe just boat access or maybe just summer access, is there a huge price difference in terms of those cottages, or does it really depend on what the cottage offers?
There is a difference for sure. Again, sorry, I don't mean to say case by case, but it is. But you know, our average price for a waterfront being at $1.3 million, you know, if you take away that access and have seasonal, you might be looking at $999. You might be looking at, you know, maybe $900 if it's boat access, not just seasonal road. So it is a lot different. Obviously, boat access are harder to get mortgages on if that's the case of somebody borrowing money on them. So you have to take that in mind when you're pricing things. I have a few for sale right now that didn't sell last year. And, you know, we just adjust the price a little bit and see what we can get for activity this year. But you definitely see a difference. You know, do you want to use your cottage all the time or just half the time? So there is that value. Hard to say exactly, but, you know, depending if you look at the $1.3 million, yeah, it could be if it's very nice and sometimes you can actually snowmobile there or, you know, ATV trail or something during the off seasons, then, yeah, you just want to make sure you're heated properly and you have the right plumbing and all that set up for you to be able to use once you get there.
So when some of our listeners hear that average price of a cottage, and those are some high costs, you know, are there areas then of cottage country that could offer a more affordable way into that market?
Well, the boat access is one option. You know, I've got some, you know, three bedrooms with a bunkie that can be under 700, 700 to 800. You've got on the smaller lakes. You can get some islands for, you know, 900, 800. Again, you're not going to be able to use it year round. And keep in mind that 1.3 million is an average. I mean, you've got a running average. You get one listing that just sold for 3 million. Well, that's going to jump it up a little bit, right? So you just got to keep it on the level of, okay, that's the price range. If I'm serious, let's go up and see the stuff that is for $1 million and see if that's worth it. Or should we be moving a little more north? Should we be moving, you know, to something that is three season because it is more affordable, and then see if I can do something to winterize it, and then that's adding value later to it. I do encourage people to do that. Let's look at something that's three season. Can you make it winterized? What would it cost to do that? Is that something that you can take on yourself, and then you're adding value a couple years down the road, and then that's the good investment that I try to encourage them to do.
One of the questions that we get from our clients prior to them making the decision to buy is, where's a good area in cottage country that has adequate internet or better internet than some of the other areas? Is that a question that you face, and what's the answer to that?
It's a lot better than the pandemic when I would say, come and look at this beautiful beach, and they say, what's the upload speed? I don't know. So it is a little different, but we have got a couple more towers that have come up in the area. There's a lot of people that have the high speed, the Starlink is coming. Yeah, you've got a lot of people that don't have issues. A lot of people do still work from their cottages all summer long. So that hasn't become a big issue, except for the people that say, I'm not putting internet at my cottage because all my kids do is stay on their stinking tablets. So we're cutting it off. Had that a few times.
Sarah, thanks so much for joining us. If our listeners want to connect with you and make that cottage property purchase or get more information, how do they do that?
You can find me on the web. I am Perry Sound Life on Instagram, X, and YouTube. You can check out my YouTube videos. I'm not fun at all, but I'm just kidding. I pretty much am. But yeah, you can find it all there, or Sarah, SAARA.ca.
That's awesome. Thanks so much, and looking forward to getting up there and checking out some of your properties.
Yeah, we'll go out by boat any day.
All right.
When we come back, your real estate questions. This is On the Market on 105.9 The Region. Stay with us.
Need to connect with Asif Khan from RE/MAX Prime Properties? Call him 416-985-KHAN. That's 416-985-5426. Or email asif@thehomeshop.ca. Now, back to On the Market on 105.9 The Region.
Welcome back to On the Market. Time now for our listener questions. Asif, you've talked a lot about how buyers are quite savvy these days. But Pat in Richmond Hill asks, how does he know he's not overpaying for his home?
So, Pat, that's a great question. And what you want to do is you want to look at past solds and don't go back a year or 6 months. Try to keep your comparisons to the current market and the current situation that's out there. And that will help you determine what to pay for this property. Once you have a value that the average value or the median value, then you can add and subtract according to the different features that are in the home, the different finishes, the upgrades, the what you may want to do to the home compared to the highest selling price on the street. So that's how it's going to help you determine the right value to offer on a home and the right value that is for that home. And your realtor would be able to help you with that by doing a comparative market analysis and showing you that the price that you're paying for that home is the actual price for that property.
And it is about comparing apples to apples, right?
It sure is. A lot of people can get a little bit confused in, three bedrooms versus four bedrooms even, or if there's a certain feature of that home, like maybe it's a ravine lot and it may sell for a lot more compared to something that's across the street that doesn't have a ravine lot. So it really is an individual property that you need to evaluate. It's you can get general numbers, but this is why those automated value models that we often hear about, a lot of people will refer to House Sigma and things like that and say, this is what House Sigma said, or this is what Zillow said down in the States. Those are automated value models, and that's why they're not as accurate as going in and doing a proper comparative market analysis yourself, having seen the properties, having seen the features, and that's what's going to help you determine the right value for the property.
You mentioned that a ravine lot would affect a property's value. What are those other factors that could be taken into account when you're comparing the prices of homes?
So there's a lot. It could be a finished basement. It could be a separate entrance to the basement. It could be, is it a one-car garage or two-car garage? Is there a sidewalk that may limit you from the number of cars you can park there? The exterior finishes, brick versus siding. There could be general repairs that are needed. Has the roof been done? Has the furnace been done? Windows, anything like that. Kitchen renovations and bathroom renovations are probably two of the things that people look for the most. And even things like hardwood floor versus laminate floor or vinyl plank flooring, or, does it need paint? All of these things that you can actually go through and make sure your home is set up properly for sale prior to putting it on the market, that will affect your home. How does it show the space? Even something like the basement, is it open space where someone can have a home theater, or is someone looking more for a basement apartment that would have a kitchen, a bathroom, and a couple of bedrooms or one bedroom? So there's a lot that goes into evaluating the properties outside of just the average sale price. And that's where our good realtor will be able to guide you.
Our next question is from Sheila in King. She wants to know, what are the priority areas when asking for a home inspection? Is there a property issue that is a deal breaker?
I think if there's something major with the foundation, that would be a major deal breaker. And the inspector would be able to go through that and check it. There's a lot of the stuff that you find in a home inspection is there's workarounds to it. So you can either ask if it's something that's major, like the furnace has maybe less than a month left in its life, you may want to negotiate that with the home seller and see if you can get them to chip in a little bit or have them change that or anything like that. But it's very rare that a deal will fall apart over a home inspection, and it's usually for issues such as foundation cracks or leaks and things like that. But it's very rare that a deal should fall apart for a home inspection. A lot of the stuff there are ways to solve it and have compensation issued to the buyer on that property. But unless you have an inexperienced home inspector and inexperienced real estate agents, that's when you get deals falling apart over home inspection.
And a deal should always include a home inspection, in your opinion, right?
It depends on the property. It's a one-year-old property and it has a total of 7 years for the tarry-on warranty, then you may take a walk around and say, okay, well, everything's good. You have a warranty. You have, the foundation warranty. Appliances are covered under their warranty. Then you may want to skip it. But it depends. You'll be able to get a good sense when you're walking through the home. I would say not 100%, but maybe 90% of the property should have home inspections. And people will say, well, I can't do a home inspection because there's multiple offers and I can't include a clause. Well, there's nothing stopping you from making an appointment to have a home inspection prior to going into that multiple offer. Sure, it's going to cost you $400 or $500 for the home inspection, but it's going to give you peace of mind that you're purchasing the right property.
And what about in the purchase of a condo? Is there automatically a home inspection there as well?
With the condo, you can get a home inspection, and we do advise it for the older condos as well. However, there's a lot of stuff that the home inspector can't really look at or doesn't need to look at in a condo. So, they can't really look at the heating and air conditioning system. They can't look at the roof. So there's a lot of stuff that is involved in a home inspection that you want the home inspector to look at that doesn't really apply to a condo. So it's basically what they're looking at is everything between the walls of the condo. So it would take a little less time to do and would be a little bit cheaper.
And how much should the buyer budget for a home inspection?
I would say between $400 and $500 is probably an average price for a home inspection. You can get very detailed and have an infrared camera and all that stuff, but it's basically you're looking for problems. Every home that you purchase is going to have some issues that you're going to have to deal with. And as long as the major stuff is looked at during the home inspection and identified, and it's not only for compensation or anything like that, it could also be for future maintenance. A home inspection is a great idea to follow the home inspector through so that he or she can point out areas that you will need to focus on in the next 5 years or 10 years for maintaining the home and making sure you get the most out of it.
As a reminder, if you have questions for On the Market, hit send anytime to info@1059theregion.com. But Asif, if our listeners prefer to contact you directly, how can they do that?
And they can reach me at 416-985-CON. That's 416-985-5426.
If you missed any part of our show, go to 1059theregion.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and Audible. I'm Tina Cortez for Asif Khan. Thank you for listening.
Need to connect with Asif Khan from RE/MAX Prime Properties? Call him, 416-985-CON. That's 416-985-5426. Or email asif@thehomeshop.ca.